passage we had from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth ended on something of an ominous-sounding tone. He's talking about what's going to happen when our lives reach their end. We're going to face what?
Hint, it's a word that's charged with a J.
The judgment, you know, the particular judgment where each one of us, at the instant that soul and body separate, will be before God and have to give an answer for what we did while we were here on earth. The judgment is based on what? Hello, I know you're out there. The judgment is based on what did we do while we were here in the body, whether good or evil. So what do we look for? What do we be making sure that we do while we're still here in the body on earth? A good direction to pull from that is to pick the second of the parables that Jesus tells in the gospel passage. Normally, the image used for the kingdom of David is a cypress tree. Mighty, tall, meaning like the 130 some or more feet, very strong, very powerful looking tree, very useful tree because the word is very strong, very durable. But instead, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which the people listening to that probably would have stepped back a little bit and gone, did he just lose his marbles or what? Because you go, what is a mustard tree? Not tree bush. You know, most people would be, you know, if you planted one in your yard, your neighbors would probably be annoyed with you because as soon as that thing matures enough to go into bloom and start producing seeds, it's going to self-sow its seeds all over the place and they're going to take over everything. Literally, it's going to spread all over the place. So why on earth would Jesus use that image for the kingdom? If you think about it, how did the church start? The kingdom is obviously referring to what's born from Jesus' side on Calvary when the soldier's lance pierces it and the blood and water flow out. That's the birth of the church, which then gets empowered when the Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost. And how big was the church then? Got 12 guys. But then on that very first day, and they start proclaiming the gospel, how quickly does it start to grow? I mean, it adds some 3,000 people on the very first day. And they don't stop there. They keep on proclaiming the gospel further and further out, expanding it further and further out, more territory into more territory into more territory, where you cross 2,000 years and land on today. How big is the church? How big is the church in our day? It's estimated to be some 1 billion members. That's billion with a B. How did it get so big? Obviously, you've had some very, very effective teachers and preachers, very good successors to the apostles who were very excelling at their ability to make the good news known. But then if you compare the number of them to the number of people like you, where did that growth come from? It's not just been the work of successors to the apostles, it's something that has been the work from the beginning to our day of people just like you. What were they doing? You know, we tend to underestimate the impact one faithful Christian can have on the people around them. Back in the day of the gospel, the book of Acts, those early days, what set them apart? They weren't out on the street corners thumping on their Bibles and preaching and teaching. They were going about the business of their daily lives, being faithful to Christ and how they treated each other, their faithfulness to their marriages, to their families, their faithfulness in how they conducted their business, the marked signs of being generous towards the needs of others and reaching out, helping their neighbor, not getting tangled up in participating in the various forms of immorality that they had then that we still have today. They held themselves apart from that. They lived faithful lives in the midst of the people around them, day after day after day. They had massive influence on the people around them, and people's like, what do they have? Again, we underestimate the power of influence of a faithful Christian who sees what's happening in the lives of the people around them, and they're not self-centered. They see that need, and they do what they can about it. Now, granted, we can't solve everybody's needs, but if people do what they are able to do, that's witness. And it has been fostering the spread of the faith since 33 AD. To simple, normal, ordinary people living their faith from day to day to day, withholding back from stuff that is immoral, and basically showing that they have something that is different, that brings them hope, that brings them peace, that helps them to deal with whatever's going on in the world at their time. They had plenty of stuff going on in the world in their time. You know, no different from today. But from day to day, they chose to live their faith. It had an impact. People saw something different, and it brought it pure curiosity. It's like, what do they have? Which would deepen to the point of, I don't know what they have, but I want it. And they would come and approach and join the faith community and start doing the same thing. Living their faith from day to day to day. Exercising the word that they heard preached to them. Living with the graces, the power-filled moments of receiving Christ in the Eucharist and taking it with them. They never left Jesus in the church. The one Jesus received in the Eucharist, they took him with him everywhere they went. And that very simple act of being willing to act on their faith is one of the major driving influences that helped the church to spread. And we need that today. Too often we think, well, it's the duty of the priest to preach the gospel. Yeah, that's our duty. But guess what? Our duty to preach it to you is so that you can do what? You're the ones who are going to go to where you work, to where you go to school, to where you go buy groceries, and every place else. You know, like for St. Paul the Apostle, there's only one of me. And on the average weekend, there's some 1,100 or so of you. But if you imagine the impact we could have on Greensboro and Guilford County, if every one of us really received what's being given to us and lived it when we left from here. Never leave Jesus behind. Take him with you. Make a difference. You have something that other people need. They need to see it in you. They need to see that it's making a difference in your life. They need to see that it's helping you to not just survive through, but thrive through the many challenges that face people in our world where we are today. They find a stability in it by watching how you handle stuff. With so many challenges to marriage and family life, what can they see in you? Keep making the choice to be faithful to your spouse, to be a good father to your children who cares about the needs of your sons and daughters, to be a good mother, to seek both of you together to raise up a child who is very strong and lively in their faith and pass it on to the next generation. Again, it's normal people just like us. These were not extraordinary people. Literally no different from us today in 2024. The human race has not changed since 33. We're still the same. But we still have, because of what God has given us, the same capacity to do what they were doing. Their faith made a difference where they lived, how they lived, how they treated those around them, how they treated each other. And it fostered the spread of the gospel further and further to where we are now 1 billion strong. And it's people just like us, where we are today, with the same gifts of grace, that can have the same power-filled impact where we are today.